Okay. The conclusion, his conclusion, these conflicts and contradictions in Matthew's and Luke's birth and infancy narratives are monumental and irreconcilable and profoundly undermine the credibility of both Gospels. Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I'd say there's definitely a different version of the story in Matthew and in Luke. Okay. Reason number 19. The Gospels do not agree about the names of the 12 disciples. Well, this happens to be a favorite topic of mine. I printed out the little chart. If everybody picked up the little chart, I printed out the chart that he printed in the book here. But first, we'll be using that chart in a minute. Matthew and John, he says, the Gospels of Matthew and John. In these Gospels, Jesus picks up his disciples one, two, several at a time in different places. Jesus' followers were one or two of his brothers. Several individuals from his hometown in Galilee, and several individuals Jesus took from John the Baptist. And he gives us a series of citations. Matthew 4:18, 21, 8:19, John 1:37, 40, 43. In Mark and Luke, Jesus' disciples are all chosen together at the same time. Luke 6:12-13, Mark 3:13-14. All right, this is just factually wrong. This is absolutely wrong, what he's saying here. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the disciples are picked up a little at a time, a little at a time. That's in John, they're picked up a little at a time. He's taking different parts of the narrative and saying, look, this is a contradiction. Let me explain. You've got the story of the master's walking along the Sea of Galilee. We were talking about this last week. He sees two disciples. Come follow me. They come follow him. He sees a tax collector. Come follow me. They come follow him. And so we get this story. He's picking up disciples. It's getting bigger. You know, the group's getting bigger. Right? Then we find these over in Luke 6 and in Mark 3. It says he goes up into the hills. He prays all night. Then he comes to figure out who's going to be the 12 disciples. He comes down and he chooses the 12. And so, bang, all at once, he selects the disciples all at once. This is not a discrepancy. He had way more than 12 disciples. He had, at one point, 70 disciples. At the time of at the time he enters Jerusalem in the triumphal entry, he has probably hundreds of disciples. At one point, we saw 5,000 people surrounding him, you know? So the fact that he picked these disciples up slowly and then at a later time picked 12 to be the inner circle is not a discrepancy whatsoever. All right. Did Matthew know his own name? Okay. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he got up and he followed him. But if you read the story in Mark chapter 2, verse 14, what do you read? As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he got up and followed him. So in Mark, his name is Levi. In Matthew, his name is Matthew. So number one, there's a discrepancy in the name of the tax collector. Number two, Asher Norman points out, if Matthew was writing this, why doesn't he say, I was sitting in the tax collector's booth and he said, follow me, and I got up and followed him. Well, that's silly. For one thing, Matthew's not writing this. Matthew wrote the Hebrew Matthew. This is the Greek, who knows how many generations removed, like we talked about last week. This is not the pen of Matthew. Matthew didn't write in Greek. So this is put together from sources, like we learned, from Mark, from Q, etc. So it's attached to the Matthew tradition, the Matthew documentary tradition. But it's not handwritten by Matthew. Secondly, even if it was handwritten by Matthew, that would just be bad form. I don't know what the point of that was. But what about this problem with this, he has two different names. He's Matthew, or is he Levi, the son of Alphaeus? Mm-hmm. This is a problem. There's two possible ways to reconcile this problem. One is that he's a Levite. So he's called... We'll find that all the disciples pick up nicknames. As I wrote about this, about why do all the disciples have nicknames? There's two reasons all the disciples have nicknames. One, a lot of them had the same first name. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience, like where you worked on a crew with a bunch of guys, and there's two Daves maybe, or two Johns, or something like that, right? You know, and so then you differentiate with nicknames. So we find that a lot of the disciples have same first names, which is normal in the first century Judaism. There's a very narrow bandwidth of nomenclature, it seems. We know that from ossuaries. There's just all, everybody seems to have the same names. You know, every little girl, you know, just how it is in Ireland, where every little girl is Mary something. Every little girl is Miriam something, you know. That's why there's so many Marys in the Gospels. The other reason that they all have nicknames is, and this also goes back to like guys that spend way too much time together. When guys spend way too much time together, they rename each other. That's a normal part of human life. And so here we've got guys that spent 3 years, you know, bopping around together, and they renamed each other. So it's possible that the Levite is the nickname for Matthew, the Levite. Or it's also possible, Rabbi Lichtenstein thinks, that this is actually a reference to the name Labius, that it shouldn't be read as Levi, it should be read as Levi, which is another disciple's name, Labius. I like my idea better, that he's Matthew, the son of Alphaeus, the Levite. Okay. Whatever. Next one, right?
Did rabbis choose their disciples, or did disciples apprentice themselves to a rabbi?
A rabbi would have to accept you. So the disciple comes to apprentice himself to you, mm-hmm. and then the rabbi would have to accept you. A conclusion on that, the fact that the Gospel of Matthew claimed that Jesus chose Matthew rather than saying he chose me suggests that Matthew is not the author. The contradiction with Mark demonstrates a devastating lack of credibility. Now, we're going to start to see, as his arguments weaken, his adjectives increase. So, a devastating lack of credibility right there. You know, that's Paul's list is problematic. Paul's list of disciples. Did you know Paul had a list of disciples? Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, when he's relating the resurrection appearances, what does he say? You don't have to turn there. He says he appeared first to Cephas and then to the 12. Oh, yeah. That makes 13 disciples. So the Gospels have 12 disciples. Paul knew of 13 disciples, because he numbers Cephas outside of the 12. Well, actually, if you do the math, at the time of the resurrection appearances, the 12 were 11 in the first place. They're called the 12 collectively. You know, they're just called the 12 because they're the 12 disciples, even if they're not 12. So it's just a way of saying the rest of the 12. The rest of the remaining 12 would be what he's saying. What were the names of the 12? Now is when he gets out this list to show us that there's devastating discrepancies in the list. And so there's some specific ones he wants us to look at. First of all, line number 6, Nathanael is a disciple in John, but not in the Synoptics or Acts. Okay, first of all, John never gives us the list of 12 disciples. John just randomly tells us about disciples here and there, but he never gives us a list of 12 names like these other sources do. So Nathanael is not necessarily even one of the 12. Nathanael could be outside the 12. He could be one of the 70. There's nothing to indicate that Nathanael is one of the 12. But what's really funny is to look at this line of information. He's called John. In John, he's called Nathanael. And in Mark, he's called Bartholomew, and Bartholomew and all the rest. What's hilarious about that is that Nathanael is a first name, Bartholomew is a last name. That's just Bartolomei. Bartolomei, perhaps, or Bartolomei. You know, Nathanael Bartolomei is... I don't know, I just find that one amusing. Okay, next one. Disciples Jesus loved is present in John, as you know. The disciple Jesus loved, he's the anonymous disciple in John. But does not exist in the three synoptic gospels by name. So he finds that James the son of Alphaeus is also never mentioned in John. So he makes an equation between James the son of Alphaeus and the disciple Jesus loved. That's an I've never heard that before. That's an interesting theory, but I don't think it's correct at all. But why is that even a problem? I don't know. Thaddeus in Mark and Matthew, but not Luke, John, or Acts. So find the Thaddeus line. Okay, line 10. Look at this. You've got a disciple named Thaddeus in Mark. And in Matthew, he's called Levius, surnamed Thaddeus. But in Luke and Acts, he's called Judas, the son of James. And in John, he's called Judas, the son of Simon. He is not. I'll come back to that point in a minute. Forget about the John reference there. Okay, but... do you see the discrepancy? Thaddeus, Judas, Levius, surnamed Thaddeus. This is not a problem. Judas is his real name. That's his Hebrew name. The problem is you have two other guys named Jude, two other guys named Yehuda. And so we're going to have to somehow tell these Yehudas apart. So how are we going to do it? One of them is nicknamed Toma, the twin, Thomas. So... Thomas, we know this from extra-biblical literature, his name is also Yehuda. So that's why they called him this. They called him the nickname, twin, Thomas. Yehuda, the son of James, Judas, the son of James, is nicknamed Thaddeus and Levius. Two different languages. One is Aramaic, one, I believe, is Latin, if I'm not mistaken. No, that's Hebrew. That's Hebrew. Levius, it's Levi, heart, hearted one, okay? Like your lave. Whereas Thaddeus is, I believe, Aramaic for it's for a nursing baby, a nursing child. So both of what these two names have in common is they're both terms of endearment. They're like what you would call a little kid, you know, like, oh, Thaddeus, to die, you know, to die. And Levius is the same. He was the youngest disciple. He's a son of one of the other disciples. He's the son of James. He's probably a teenager. He's like the teenage disciple. And we also happen to know that his... from another reference in the gospel, that his grandmother was traveling with them. So I always like to picture it like this. You know, it's like, She's always like, come here, cutiekins, you know, she's like that. And the other disciples are going, cutiekins. And so he gets stuck with these nicknames. But it's not, there's no contradiction here that he's called Thaddeus, Judas, and Levius. I mean, look, even in Matthew, it tells us that he's Levius, surnamed Thaddeus. Okay.
What about Judas, son of Simon?
Yeah, next one. Judas, son of Simon. Judas, son of Simon. He's never called Judas, son of Simon. Judas, son of Simon is not is not Judas, the son of James. But first we've got to go to line number 12. In line number 12, our lawyer makes the case. He says, the second mention of Judas is called Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, right? In all of these lists, that's the second Judas mentioned. But the second Judas mentioned in John, and there is no list in John, is Judas not Iscariot. And so this is a contradiction between Judas Iscariot, but John calls him Judas not Iscariot. That's not true. John doesn't call him Judas not Iscariot. John calls Judas Iscariot, he calls him Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. So Judas, the son of Simon, is Judas Iscariot. So the one that he put in number 10, according to John, you can look this up, that's John 6:71, he even cites the verse. John 6:71, Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. That one belongs down here in line 12. And Judas, the one called not Iscariot, belongs in line 10 with Thaddeus, Judas son of James, Judas son of James, Levius surnamed Thaddeus. So, what you have here is an intentional attempt to obfuscate and confuse, I think, either that or he really confused himself.
That's possible.
It's possible. Yeah. Yeah. But he makes a case out of it. He says, there are two Judases in John and Luke, but only one Judas in Synoptics. Second Judas in John is called not Iscariot. Second Judas in Luke, and only Judas in Mark and Matthew was characterized as Iscariot. So he tries to make some sort of point out of this. I don't know. My point is that there's no point to be made. Anyway, so there's your list of what are the names of the 12 disciples. The conclusion that he comes to, I just put on your sheet as wild speculation. He writes, the Gospels name James and Judas as two of Jesus' brothers. That's true. Those are also names of Jesus' brothers. And then he goes and says, but they're the same James and Judas here. Which doesn't make sense because here, Judas is the son of James. They can't be brothers and father and son. Anyway, Acts alleges that Jesus' brother James took over the Jesus movement. This James may be called maybe the second James. Referred to as James, the son of Alphaeus. The Gospels may have hidden the fact that he was Jesus' brother to minimize his importance as long as possible because James opposed the theology of Paul. See, that's what I mean by wild speculation. This is just spinning off nowhere. Significantly, James, the son of Alphaeus, is absent from John's Gospel. Why is that significant? It's not. This is ridiculous. Anyway, it goes on for quite a ways like that. The inconsistency in the names of the disciples undermine the credibility of Jesus' story is the final conclusion. And that's the end of reason number 19. All right, it's serious. This is the kind of stuff. This is the kind of... people are losing their faith over this kind of stuff. Because why? You know, like we mentioned earlier, it's this strict, strict inerrancy thing. That's, I think, the biggest problem. Bart Ehrman of Misquoting Jesus, he tells his story at the beginning of that book, Misquoting Jesus, and he shows all, you know, textual variants and that sort of thing. He about how he was an evangelical, strict guy, inerrancy of the Bible guy. You know, there can absolutely be no... And he had that whole theory. And I remember hearing this like from a pastor when I was a kid. If there's one word of it that's wrong, the whole thing is wrong, sort of thing. You know? But that's a house of cards. You know, you've built this house of cards. You find one word, one thing, one one tiny thing.
But we don't even have the original text.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a whole other question. That's the dodge. You can always, you can hold inerrancy and say, in the original manuscripts. You know, absolutely. But Ehrman, you know, he went to study, went to seminary, went to study, started to learn, whoa, what's all this? And he became very good at Greek, and he's doing textual criticism and that sort of thing, and it destroyed his faith. So, you know, he's no longer a believer, and now he writes books trying to convince other people not to be believers too. But I thought it was a very good, you know, it was a very good example of what happens to people if they're not educated in a faith, a faith construct. All right. Thank you.